Oh.
Hello,
now they're
everyone.
Recording.
It's Nathan here.
Ah, Nathan.
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, good. Yeah, I'm filling in for Larry today because he is on the cruise, the Friend Investor cruise out in Alaska.
Oh,
yeah.
Is that where it was? I was wondering where it was. Woo! Okay, he went to work.
Yeah, so he's out there in Alaska today. So he asked me to fill in again. You know, I got a lot of great responses from the previous calls I did. I figured we'd talk about a few things about the current trends in the market. But just to let everyone know, we'll also open it up for questions, but to let everyone know that I'm filling in for Larry today. Getting it rock and rolling. I did see a few people in the Facebook Inner Circle group commenting and doing deals and closing deals. Congratulations if you're on the call. I think that's awesome. But maybe we can kick it off with any, like, you know, anything someone's done that they haven't done before. Like, maybe you made your first offer. Maybe you, you know, closed on a property just recently. If anyone wants to start off and share something like that, a good success story, that'd be awesome.
I'll start off. This is Melody from Florida. I just got one under firm signed contract. I'm going to wholesale it. And got another one in negotiation.
Oh, Melody, great job.
Yay, that's
awesome.
Oh, where's the bell? Somebody's got a bell, don't they? My bell's back in the bedroom.
Yeah,
you got to
ring the
bell,
girl.
Yeah, you got to ring the bell, exactly.
Ring the bell.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Excellent, Melody. That's really helpful for the rest of us that somebody's doing it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I look at, just to add,
go ahead. No, I was going to say, except she wants me to buy them, and I'm from Philly. I don't want nothing in Ohio. Go make money on it, Melody.
just to share, I know sometimes we look at, like, a successful thing as a closed deal or money in the bank and or made their first offer. Those are all successes. But I also like to point out even the small things. Like, sometimes it may be something you've never done in your business before. It could have been you did your first mailer. Maybe you finally got someone on your power team. You found a great attorney. You made some contacts. You found a good agent. Whatever it may be that you've never done before. So if anybody has even things like that, that's okay to share also. So who else wants to go?
Okay, I'm going to go. Here we go.
Go, Sealy. Go, Sealy.
Yo. this was not a funny thing, but we closed on a HUD in Texas 1 week before the Hurricane Harvey.
Wow. Was it affected? Was the property affected by any chance?
Well, here's the thing. Our vision was of it floating down the river somewhere.
Oh geez, yeah.
However, a lot of prayers up, and my agent couldn't even get there till today, because that's how bad it still is there.
Wow.
That particular development did not flood.
Excellent.
But, however, and I told this to Larry, I had emailed him, we said, well, maybe out of something bad will come something good. I said, if the house is unscathed, what we're going to do is we're going to help. Instead of flipping it like we were going to do, we weren't going to wholesale it. There was enough meat on the bone to actually put carpet and paint and then flip it out. But what we're going to do is we're going to fix it up because it does have some roof leaks. We're going to fix it up and put in a displaced family from Hurricane Harvey.
Well, that's good.
Oh,
that's awesome.
Great.
That's awesome. Yeah, you know, that's a good point you bring up. You know, there is between the Hurricane Harvey and I think it's Hurricane Irma in Florida, right?
Yeah.
I've had quite a few people ask me, like, oh, is that a good time to be investing? Should I be focused in those areas. Just back in the day when Hurricane Katrina came through, you know, some people would run from those types of situations and other people will run into them, like saying, hey, this is a great time because there's a problem. And that's actually what business is all about, solving people's problems. And so even as an investor, you may be in a position where you're doing a particular strategy right now, which is fine, but there's also opportunity whenever there is either chaos, there's a tragedy, or there is a hurricane or earthquake or something like that, there's opportunity. And so in two parts of the country, you know, there is a lot of opportunity. There's a lot of people, whether it's displaced, whether you're getting people into your properties as a rental and government funded, or it's maybe people are selling their homes. They're getting insurance checks and they're like, I'm done, you know, mm-hmm. and I'm moving on. I'm going to somewhere else. So they may even sell the property just to get rid of it, right? So there's a lot of things that come out of those types of, natural chaos. So just keep that in mind, because I know some investors have asked me, they said, hey, Nathan, you know, I was already investing in this area. Should I continue or should I go somewhere else? And, you know, I'd say there's an opportunity whenever there's a problem. So keep that in mind. You know, just like when you're working with motivated sellers, there's a problem that they have that you're trying to solve. So you have to discover what the problem is and then help them find that solution. And I always bring up, like, speaking of business and running your real estate business, you know, your motivated seller is your charity work. I know there's a lot of people on this call and there's a lot of people not on this call that are in real estate to also help people. And that's awesome. Okay. So I look at your motivated seller as the charity side of your business. Yes, you have to get the deal at the right price, but you're also trying to help someone. But then you have to look at your exit strategy. Maybe you're cash buyer, or maybe you're doing it as a rental, whatever it is. That's your money maker, right? That's where you're really going to, if you're wholesaling and you're going to turn it over to a cash buyer, then your cash buyer is your customer. And you have to treat your customers like gold. So I just wanted to bring that up because I know a lot of times when I'm working with people, they kind of dismiss the cash buyer altogether if they're wholesaling. They just say, oh, the cash buyer, you know. And they don't really focus on that. They just focus on the property. But actually, if you focus in wholesaling, if you focus on your cash buyer first, they'll actually direct you to where you should be wholesaling, right? They'll tell you what they want. And to wrap up my little story here, I always say this. Imagine you're walking into a supermarket. I know we've all been in this situation. Imagine going into the supermarket without a shopping list, right? Some people do, some people don't. Imagine going into the grocery store in the market, but you're going on behalf of someone else, not yourself. So if you're a wholesaler and you're going into the supermarket, don't you need to know what your customer wants? Don't you need to know the list of what they're looking for? Of course you do. Sadly, so many times what wholesalers do is they go into the market for a cash buyer and they don't bring the shopping list. They don't know what the cash buyer really wants. They just go in walking up and down the aisles kind of looking for any property they can get their hands on. And that's actually a lot of wasted time. So anyway, just wanted to share that. Because that turns on a lot of light bulbs when I'm working with people. And if you know what your cash buyer wants in advance, then you can really just get in there and know what to pick out of the market. All right, so let's continue.
That was good, Nathan. Thank you.
Yeah, no
Nathan,
problem.
Nathan, don't they also refer to that as reverse wholesaling?
That's been a term that has come up in over – that word and co-wholesaling are two new terms in the industry probably within the past 5 years that have really come out and reverse wholesaling. But the reality is it's business 101. You know, it's like know what your customer wants. If you're in wholesaling, you got to know what your customer wants and go get it for them, right? So you know, find the need and fill it with the demand. You know, find the need and then fill it with the supply. I mean, it's that simple. But sometimes, you know, getting to know real estate, I think the amount of information that's out there about real estate investing is much more complicated than actually real estate investing is. But I think it's people get lost in all the information. So just keep it simple with business and, you know who your customer is, know who your cash buyers are. If you're doing owner financing, which I know there's a few people on this call that do, even myself, it's not a cash buyer. My customer is someone who's a potential homeowner you know, who's going to come into the property, who's going to put down the down payment and going to make a mortgage payment every month. So I have to know what their needs are. I have to know what they're looking for. And that's, again, knowing who your customer is and giving them what they want. So, all right, good stuff there. Let's move on. Someone else want to share something that they've recently done that they never did before, something they've achieved in their business?
Well, I guess I'll go ahead and
Okay, great.
This is Tony, and when we were in class 2 weeks ago, we were feeding our people who were looking for homes for us the information, and then when I got back from the class, I looked at the whiteboard and practically fell over because they filled up our whiteboard with properties that we had agreements on, that they received purchase agreements that were accepted. I'm like, oh my goodness!
Wow.
So
Tony,
10 spots, and they needed 12, and I, you know, I'm more the finance guy. I'm not the sales guy, but from class, mm-hmm. the one I got was also accepted. So
that's
so,
great.
I'm like,
good
well,
job,
I've got
Tony.
One to put on the board.
Yes, wow.
Yeah,
that's
so
awesome.
I spent
that's
a lot of today
cute.
getting things organized with the software we're using. Did some programming to get basically get it off the whiteboard because there's a lot of information
yeah.
to go through. So it's a lot. It's very interesting. It's a lot of fun. I know a lot of them will be kicked off when with our inspections, but I think a lot of them are going to go through.
That's great.
Hey,
that's
Tony,
great.
You're buying Tony's buying in Ohio. Melody, that was in our class, she's got a couple things under contract.
Great.
You might want to talk to her.
That's true. She
she's
did. She did go to Ohio, and we've got two in Ohio. If she's wholesaling.
Yep.
Because what we're doing.
Tony,
is
do you
want to
give out? Tony, if you feel comfortable, you can give out your contact information. If you feel comfortable, it's not nothing. No issues.
Yeah, sure. It's yeah. you can. You can email me at tony@rainey, R-A-I-N-E-Y, realestate.com.
I got it.
Okay, great.
Now, Nathan, just to clarify, this is Marla speaking. The people on this call, are these only the people that were in our particular Larry Goins Inner Circle class, or is this more than that?
No, it's much more than it's much more than that. Actually, this is a combination of at least 5 years of students. For the past 5 years, Larry's been having these inner circles. Actually, it's coming up to 6 years. So anyone who's been an inner circle member, whether they have been in coaching, like phone coaching with me, whether they've gone to Larry's office for 3 days or 5 days, or maybe I've gone out to the area and worked with them for 3 days, depending on the program the person comes into and signs up for, they get access to these calls, and they also get access to the archives. Now, does everyone show up? No. Sometimes I hear people, you know, they're there, you know, pretty consistently, and then they drop off for a few months, and they come back. So it's always a combination of people.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. No problem. All right. I did want to have another person share if they want, but I also, because we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, the current market trends, and let's talk about what's been currently happening. But let's see if we can get one more person if you want to share something you've done. Maybe it's an accepted offer. Maybe it's your first offer. Maybe it's you met someone new in your power team, someone, your real estate attorney, insurance agent, whoever, title company. Just share something big or small, either way. All right. Okay. So let's convert over to current real estate trends, what's happening in the market. And I think we have people from all over the country on this call, actually even out of the country, which would be myself. Is there anyone else on the call that's not in the U.S.? No? Okay. So everyone's in the U.S. So what we're seeing around the country, you've probably been experiencing this. If you haven't yet, you're going to. It is kind of just like the stock market. You know, everything is hot right now, right? So you're seeing some of not only the biggest markets, right? Where we could say, we could name off the biggest cities around the country: the Chicago, the Houston, the Dallas, the you know San Francisco, the Boston, the Miami, right? We can go all over the country, and everything seems to be ticking up towards a very hot seller's market. So, what that means is that some of the ways that people have been maybe buying properties before in the past are not as active. And here's what I mean by that. For example, first of all, with the current market trend being everyone's selling and getting top dollar or above that, and you might be experiencing this in some, even in your own state, is where someone may list, for example, their house for $100,000 and they're getting $100,000 or very, very close to it. But in most cases right now, we're seeing a lot of overbidding, which means they list it for $100,000 and there's a little bidding war and all of a sudden they sell it for $110,000. So that would be a very strong seller's market. And we're seeing that happen all over the country. So some of the places that have dried up for deals, and I'm not saying this is the case all the time, by the way. It's just you've probably seen the inventory shrink down. One is REOs, bank-owned properties, REOs. And the reason why there's not much opportunity in bank-owned properties right now for us investors, it could be for the homeowner who's looking just to, you know, buy a property from the bank. But for investors, we're seeing that banks are actually just relisting the property for what it's worth, right? For what they can get for it, and even above that, because they know people are buying. So REOs haven't been as much inventory. The second one that's pretty popular out there is HUD. Now, I know someone mentioned on our call, the last one I was on, that they were actively bidding on HUD. And they noticed that the amount of percentage, and maybe you've heard this from Larry just recently, the amount of percentage you can bid on HUD properties has changed. Meaning, let's just hypothetically say you can't go 80% below market value, 80% below list price, 50% below list price. What HUD has done is they've tweaked the conditions a little bit of the bidding process because they too, as the government, wants to get top dollar for their properties because the seller's market is there. So they're kind of like pushing away investors. Now, that doesn't mean you can't still get a deal on there, just that you might find that the inventory is drying up a little bit. You might not find as much. And actually, Larry noticed this, and he probably maybe have told you some of you this recently, is, you know, just about 3 years ago, there was thousands of properties in North, and, you know, Larry does North and South Carolina. There was thousands in inventory in HUD. Today, there's like very few hundred, and that's just because the market has changed and it's kind of just dwindling down. So you're going to see this throughout some of the more, I would say more a few avenues of acquiring real estate, but there's something that is always, always popular in real estate investing. It will never, ever go away, and that is working with motivated sellers directly. That means you are actively, you know, pursuing motivated sellers, doing your marketing to acquire a for sale by owner, someone who's motivated to sell. Sometimes the avenues of, like, say, either HUD or REO are just not there. And let me just, I don't want to say a word of caution. You're probably going to hear about a lot of different, I'm going to say new with quotations, if you can visually see my fingers and quotes here. You're probably going to see a lot of new avenues to do real estate. Like one big one right now is probate. You're probably going to hear like, oh my God, it's the next best thing since sliced bread. And the only reason why that's happening is because the other areas are drying up. So it's almost like you have to shift gears. And you might hear that from a lot of investors, or maybe you've wondered why. Like, why does one investor sometimes talk about one strategy for a number of years and all of a sudden they shift into a different strategy? And that's because the leads may be drying up. So they have to find a different source. But keep in mind that no matter what, in real estate investing as real estate investors, there's one source that never dries up, and that's motivated sellers directly. And you have the opportunity, if you put some marketing effort into your business to attract motivated sellers and work with them directly, it's the avenue that you can get the most most bang for your buck in real estate investing. So an important thing about that is just to be active in marketing, attract your target audience, which would be your motivated seller, and work with them directly, you know, because that's where you're probably going to get some of the best deals. Now, it may not be in a downtown area or in a, you know, in a 20-mile radius of a major city, right, that's blowing up, like exploding with growth like Dallas or, you know, San Francisco, Boston. I can go on and on. But they're going to be in the outskirts of those areas. There's still growth, or they're called sleeper cities. They're cities that, like Ohio, for example, is a great example. Ohio has been up and coming, and that's just one. There's many others, but it's a sleeper city where investors are finding out, hey, this is a good area. There's incentives. You can get involved in there, and it won't be such a hot seller's market probably for another, you know, maybe a few years. So there's still a good opportunity there. Philadelphia is another sleeper city. Not many people are talking about it. Investors are getting in there. Some parts of New Jersey, if you're interested in the north part, sleeper cities that need revitalization that are going to be up and coming and growth in the market. And there's a lot of inventory in these so-called sleeper cities that you can get with motivated sellers who just need to sell their properties, and they need to be, if you're doing wholesaling, they need to be rehabs, and you can sell them off to a cash buyer. So I just wanted to bring that up because in your efforts, and I'd actually like to open it up here to hearing some of your efforts, like what have been your sources and what have you been tapping into when you're looking at properties, and where are you getting your properties? So I'd like to open up questions and open it up to hearing about your sources. Anybody got a question about that, about where property sourcing? Where are you getting your properties? What have you been doing?
Yeah, I have a question.
You tell us.
Okay. Go for it.
I've been getting them from the MLS and Zillow, and since I've done that, I've been getting a constant feed of my criteria. And I've also to the Oklahoma county websites and just hopped over the properties and looked for vacant properties as well. So I've been doing that. Or going to properties that the owner is out of area.
That's right.
Not occupied.
That's right.
That's what I've
been doing. That's great. You bring up two great sources. You bring up vacant properties, right? That's itself, or non-owner occupied could be an investment property as a rental. It could still be vacant, but non-owner occupied could be an investment property that someone has and it's a rental, and maybe they're tired of owning it. You know, disgruntled landlord, right? So that's good. You're going after those two sources. However, let's dive into that a little bit deeper. Where are you getting the information from? You just said Zillow, and so where are you getting the notification? Like, where do you find your properties of vacant homes and absentee owners?
The county website.
Okay.
So you
find it, then what happens? What do you do after that? So you're looking for it, but then what happens?
Nathan, can you back up? And I don't understand yet how you find it on the county websites.
Well, whatever area you're looking in, if you take a house that's on Zillow, it has a highlighted link to the county site. Sometimes that link works and sometimes it does not. You go to the county site and it brings up the tax form. All counties are different. Some don't have a lot of information. Some has an abundance of information. There's a link on there that expands the property. And you can do like an aerial view, and it gives you the details. And usually on the right-hand side column, it tells you the address of the owner and the address of the property.
Oh,
so I just hover over
the
Oh,
you can use the
houses. Oh, God, you put them on my card with my military. Oh, I didn't know that.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Melody.
Great. Yeah, so that's great. Now, so I take it from there, are you contacting the owner? Is that what you're doing after that, or what's your process after that?
Yes, I call the owner and just ask them if they're interested. In fact, I'm waiting on two of them right now. They had left that because of the storm. I have two properties in a bucket, I call it, to look at and to be able to take an inside picture. And
no, just don't forget to give me
because I evacuated. So it's in a prime location. This is in Florida. So I have two potentials sitting there waiting.
Great.
Wow. Yeah.
That's great. You bring up a good point. Yeah, absolutely. That is great. You bring up a good point about, searching for the opportunity, which is the absentee owner or the vacant property. That's important. How you go about getting them, you probably after a while might say, whoa, this is really time consuming. and you're absolutely right about counties. I'm going to stress a point here about going deep and about going wide. Okay, you bring up the point where you say every county is different. Okay, and investing real estate, even though we can do it from anywhere virtually, right, and we can do it from one state to another, the reality is it's a really ends up being a local business. Here's what I mean. Just like you said, when every county is different, you really have to understand how that county works. Some has an abundance of information. Some of it doesn't. And sometimes that can really stress someone out if the system they're using, for example, maybe in Mississippi, I know there's an area that they still don't have a lot of records on computers. They actually, you have to have someone to go down to the deeds office and pull out the big red books and blow the dust off of it and look up the deed, right? Because it's not online. And there's still some places around like that, even though we're in 2017. But the reality is going deep and going wide, here's the important thing. Know your market and go deep into one market. There's sometimes you'll hear some people say out there like, I look everywhere. I look in three different states. I look in four different states, and try not to do that. The reason is, like you said earlier, there is so much going on in that particular area and in that market and in that county that you really want to become knowledgeable about that county, about that market that you're investing in. If you are spread out over three states, well, guess what? You have to learn about those three states or, get to know their county system and how it works and the marketing and the type of people that are there. So again, be laser focused with that. That's an important thing. And to go deep in the market, meaning that, if you're working one county, then start selecting certain zip codes of that county. If you're wholesaling real estate, know the areas that are where most of the cash sales are happening. I get this question asked of me all the time. Nathan, where can I find where all the cash sales are happening? This is a very simple process. And if you're wholesaling real estate, this is kind of like the fish finder. If you're looking to want to know where all the cash buyers are going with a fish finder, you can get this information from a real estate agent. A real estate agent that's on your power team. You can ask them, hey, I want to know in the past 6 months, where are all the cash sales happening? They can actually pull up that data and look at where all the cash sales are happening. It's a great way to like fish find your way to an area, where all the cash sales are happening. Another way too is through the agent. You can having someone on your power team, you could also ask around. From anything from a title company, an escrow agent, to an attorney, to other members in the group. Let's say the real estate investment group in that area. You're asking around, like, hey, where's all the cash sales typically happen? Where are all the cash buyers buying? And the more detailed and the more information you find out of where they're happening, just like your fish finding way to discovering where the deals are happening, especially if you're wholesaling. That's speaking particularly for wholesaling there. But again, you bring up that great point about every county is a little different. So be sure, because it can be very overwhelming to get really narrowed down into an area, you know, and know what's going on, how their systems work. And that will help, you know, help you build your business a little faster. Any questions about that stuff?
That was helpful. Thank you, Nathan.
Sure. All right. Okay, so I talked a little bit about market trends, kind of the stuff that's happening. We talked a little bit about property sourcing. By the way, I know I just kind of wrapped that up, but I just want to go back. Remember, even though if you're going through the county websites, remember there's a way to attract those people. There's you might want to write this down. There's two ways of marketing. There's push marketing and there's pull marketing. Push marketing means imagine going door to door. That's push marketing. Imagine making a phone call. That's push marketing. That doesn't mean you're being pushy. It just means you're actively going out, right? So then there's pull marketing, also known as attraction marketing. Attraction marketing is maybe you're posting ads on classified sites. Maybe you're running an ad on the radio. Maybe you're doing Facebook marketing. Maybe you're doing yard signs. Maybe you're doing direct mail marketing, right? Anything to get the phone to ring, to get someone to give you information, to go to your website, right, to take action, that's called pull marketing. So in your business, you can go out actively looking for properties and looking for the owner and all that stuff. You can. But you can also do, for example, you can do direct mail, and you can easily drop a letter to all those people who are absentee owners or vacant properties. You can drop a letter to them and say, hey, notice your property's vacant. This is a summary. Notice your property's vacant. I'm interested in buying your property. I'm buying properties in this area. Call me. You can do very targeted marketing online, that geo-targeted marketing to people who are in that area. Hey, absentee owner, also vacant house, call here. You know, this is who you gotta call to sell your property.
I can hear you. Oh.
So just keep that in mind when you're doing marketing for your business. It's easier, it's better and more efficient to do attractive marketing than it is to go push marketing. Even though they both work, of course, they both work. There's no doubt about it. But you can get more done and automate your business with attractive marketing. All right. So let's open it up for some questions. Any questions at all, any questions you have in regards to your business, whether it's about technology, whether it's about a real estate deal in particular, whether it's about building a power team, whether it's about markets, any questions at all, let's open it up for some questions.
I need help getting in the Larry Cohen's Inner Circle Facebook group.
Can you say that again? The phone's a little muffled there.
The Facebook group for the Inner Circle?
Yep.
My request is still pending. I can't get in. This is Melanie.
Okay, could you – Melanie, right? Okay. Yeah, let me look into that. I'm just making a note here. And your last one?
Tony. Brueggenham.
Okay.
B-R-U-E.
Okay. All right. Sure. Yeah, I'll look into that for you and get you accepted there. All right. Okay, who else? No questions? Come on. It's okay. No, even a small question is okay. Like, even if it's not something huge, that's fine.
I have a question, Nathan.
Great.
Hello? Okay, great.
Yep.
To do an attraction marketing campaign, just getting started, what's a basic realistic budget that a person needs to have to make something like that effective?
That's a good question. If you're doing – I'll give you a few avenues. I'll give you the almost free method. I'll give you that one, the almost free. Well, it could be free if you do it. So I'll give you that method. I'll give you the direct mail method and pay-per-click marketing. So let's start off with the almost free method, okay? If you're doing attractive marketing, you're basically going to post ads. A lot of this stuff is probably in one of your courses. If you own any type of real estate course, wholesaling course, I'm sure there is ads in there, ad copy, ad words, or messages that you could use. All you're going to do is literally copy that same information. Just make sure you edit it with your phone number. you can post this stuff, those type of ads, on classified sites. Let me talk a little bit about classified sites. And this would be free, right? This is free marketing right here, okay? Classified sites is going to be, number one, Craigslist. Reason why I say Craigslist is first is because it gets the most traffic in the world, okay, for classified sites. It gets the most traffic in the world. So when people think classified sites, they think Craigslist. Second, they think Backpage. And then there's a whole host of other classified sites out there. Here's what's really important. Targeted area. Make sure that the classified site that you use, it can really break down the targeted market. Now, for anyone who thinks, Craigslist, really? I hear this all the time, by the way. From any student that I work with, they always think, what, Craigslist, really? And I say, yes, really. Actually, for as long as I've been doing real estate in North and South Carolina, which has been about 7 years, I have only sold all of my properties through Craigslist, only. I've never worked with a realtor for the past 7 years I've been investing in North and South Carolina. Now, prior to those 7 years, I found deals different ways in Massachusetts and Rhode Island and Florida. But ever since I started investing in North and South Carolina, I only found properties and I only sold properties through Craigslist. And I truly believe that Craigslist is probably the number one site for doing real estate transactions than almost any other site for investors. It's just very, very powerful. Okay, so what you could do with those classified sites, Craigslist being one of them, so you can post your marketing on there. What's important, though, in any marketing is consistency. Okay, so if you're going to post, or if you're going to drop mail, or if you're going to do pay-per-click marketing, you have to be consistent. Here's what I mean. In classified marketing or online classified ads, you have to consistently post maybe at least 3 times a week, okay? Now, 3 times a week, this may be your target audience. It may be at certain times. So maybe you do it Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and it's Monday at 11 a.m., and then again, you repost again at 6 p.m. Then the same thing on Wednesday. Then the same thing on Friday. You have to be consistent. Now, some people say, well, Nathan, that's a lot of clicking, posting, and reposting. That's where the free part comes in, but what makes it close to free is if you hire a virtual assistant to do that kind of marketing for you. It can be very, very cheap. It can actually be like literally $10 to $20 a week to be posting those classified ads for you. I would say around the $20 mark is reasonable, depending on what you want to pay your virtual assistant for, how much you want to pay them. So you could have someone do it for you on your behalf, posting those classified ads to attract motivated sellers. Some people use We Buy Houses. Listen, for as long as I've been doing real estate, which has been 12 years, We Buy Houses has been working. Some people want to use other verbiage, that's fine too. It's yard signs, classified ads has been working for over 20 years, since back in the day with Talton Sheets. So you can definitely use that method. The second method is direct mail. Now, direct mail is where you buy a list. You buy a list of these, let's say, in this case, absentee owners or vacant properties. There, you can actually buy lists of addresses, okay? And that would cost you probably, I would say, start off with a small budget, and it should be anywhere between $200 to $500 a month. You can kind of play around with that number, but I would just say start small first. And here's what I mean again by consistency. If you're doing direct mail, that you do at least 100, okay? Don't do less than 100 mailers. Do at least 100, but be consistent. If you don't have a big budget right now, that's okay. Start off small with 100, but be consistent, meaning you have to mail at least every week or every other week for a period of at least 3 months. And if you do any research about direct mail marketing or hear about other investors and how they get leads and properties from direct mail, you're always going to hear consistency. And that means you can't just do one mailer. Like you can't just mail like 2,000 people all at once. in October and don't mail until January, okay? You actually have to mail and be consistent either every week or every other week, depending on your budget. And again, that should be on a small side, should be no less than probably $300 to starting out, I'd say, around $500. And then the last one, which is the most trending advertising out there, is pay-per-click marketing, particularly Google marketing, Google pay-per-click, or also known as PPC, and also Facebook marketing. Those are the two biggest avenues. Those are the two biggest data collectors on the planet right now. They collect the most data of their users. And you literally can run simple ads to people who are looking to sell their property. You can actually get that detailed information, and your ad will show up. So you can, the good thing with pay-per-click marketing, you can turn it on and turn it off as fast or as quickly as you want if you don't want to spend a certain amount. Also, you can actually add a budget. If you only want to spend $5 a day on your marketing, you can do that. If you want to spend $100 a day on your marketing, you can do that. And it will automatically shut off and turn it back on to keep you within your budget. So I listed three ways there. Hopefully that answers some of those questions. Did you have any questions about those?
Yeah, I've got one question on the Craigslist ad. We tried running it as often as you suggested. And what happens is our listings get what we list up there, posting, get flagged and taken off. Is there a way to prevent that?
Well, there is. You can't repeat the ad. This kind of gets where you'd have to tweak your marketing a little bit. You just can't have the same ad running. So it can't be the same copy and paste. It literally has to be a slightly different verbiage. Yeah. So I would maybe come up with a few ads. By the way, if anyone needs help writing ads, like, hey, I don't even know, like, I got to figure out how am I going to write this up. Don't make it too complicated. Don't make it too difficult, right? It's got very simple, usually works. Keep it simple. But there's a website I want to give you for two reasons, especially if you're in wholesaling. There's a website I want to give you. It's called Fiverr.com, Fiverr.com. And on this website, you can actually have someone write real estate ads for you. So if you don't know what to say, or maybe you want to try different verbiage, you can do that and have someone write it for you for literally as cheap as $5. But even more importantly, you can also go into Fiverr and you can actually find people to help you build your buyers list. I know we talked about that earlier. There are people on Fiverr and other contracting freelancer websites that actually can help you build your buyer list for you. You have to let them know what areas and markets. Don't get me wrong, there's a lot of people out there trying to sell a buyer list. But don't just run into buying any kind of list, okay? The reason is those people could be from anywhere. They could, your target market could be Dallas, Texas, and you got a whole list and most of those people, let's say you buy a list of 500 cash buyers and only two of them are from Dallas or want to buy in Dallas. Does that make sense? So again, try to stay away from buying entire lists of cash buyers, but maybe you could hire someone to help you build a cash buyer list for literally as cheap as like $10 to $20. It's probably going to cost a little bit more because it'll help you do some marketing. But if you're a wholesaler and you're looking to have someone help you build a buyer's list, you can have them do that.
I have a question about, regarding posting on Craigslist. I had, for a while, I'd hired a VA that was posting ads for me. And we realized that everything that my VA posted got flagged, and if I posted the same stuff, it stayed up. And so I was guessing that Craigslist was figuring out that the ad was getting placed by somebody in the Philippines because it can figure out where your computer was. That's what I concluded. Mm-hmm. But how do I avoid that? Because I would love to have my VA or hire a VA to do Craigslist ads, but they were just all coming down, and me doing it myself was working. But
sure, yeah. Absolutely. You know, this is a great question. It does come up every now and then, but I'll tell you what. Usually virtual assistants are familiar with this already, but either way, there's a thing that they can buy or they can have. Maybe they don't know about it, but it's called a VPN, Virtual Private Network. And that basically means
VPN, virtual private what?
virtual private network, VPN.
Network. Okay, yeah. Got it.
Network. Yeah. Yeah, I think the right terminology is virtual protocol network, but I think it, most people know it as a private network, because the reality is you can actually have this software either on your phone, it's just an app on your phone or the app on your computer, and you can turn it on and you can literally jump servers into a different country, which means you can surf the internet as if you're, like, I don't want to get too computer tech here, but basically when you sign online, you're tapping into the local server in that area by the company that you're, you know, whoever your internet service provider is. What the VPNs allow you to do is be able to pick any server in the world that you want to be attached to. So basically a virtual assistant can say, can make it look like they're actually in the U.S. Just by attaching themselves to that server and running their internet through that server in the U.S. And then they can browse, post, and work on your behalf, okay? There's also another software to get your VAs if you want. If you get really, really technical with this stuff, you can actually have a VA use one of your computers. Maybe you have a second computer or something like that. They can actually log in to your computer, and you can see them moving the mouse and all that, and they can use your IP right there and you know, use a secondary computer and, you know, post on your behalf. So some people do that. But, yeah, VPN usually takes care of that issue. So that will help with that. All right. What's the next question?
I have a more detailed question about direct mail, but I don't know.
Sure.
I just asked the last question, so.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Whoever jumps first, that's the way I see it. Whoever, yep.
Okay. So my partner and I started a direct mail campaign, and our plan was we're committing $1,500 over the course of 12 weeks or something like that is what we come up with. So we sent out our first mailer, and we had purchased a list of non-owner-occupied properties and then did a direct mailing, and I did about 275 postcards to all houses where the owner didn't live there, and I got one phone call back, only one, and it was to say, oh, my house was listed, here's my agent's number. So pretty discouraged about that. That just seemed really low. And then I've heard people say, well, lots of people are buying that list now. It's been, you know, it's like out there and popular now. And so, you know, these people are getting inundated. And another one of the properties, I actually drove by and looked at a number of the houses that were really close to where I live that were in the zip code in my area. And managed to meet directly with the person who'd inherit. It was like the mom's house, and this was the daughter that was taking care of the house. Anyhow, she said she just gets tons of those letters. I mean, she gets them all the time. And the only reason she was talking to me was that I had actually found her in person, because I drove around and looked at those houses, and I got her number from her next door neighbor. So she even got to the point was like, I was surprised at what a small response it was, and we haven't done more yet. You know, we'd only done one, but it was just even so much smaller than I was expecting, and so not quite sure where to go from there with that.
Sure.
Should we just go ahead and keep spending the money, or was I just money?
Well, you bring up a great point. You bring up a great point, and, you know, this is where testing, in all marketing and business, it's all about testing. One of the key indicators I'm hearing is if you're in a market where, say, hey, we're getting inundated with these letters, right? What market are you dropping mail in?
I'm in Columbia, South Carolina. I'm in
Columbia. South Carolina,
yeah. Yeah.
Sure. So it might, if it's in Columbia, if it's in a 20-mile radius in that area, you might have an inundation of mailers going out. And another thing too is when that person said, oh, I just listed it with the realtor. Whenever someone uses a realtor, they are willing to pay the agent fees, right? So there's not a lot of motivation there. There's not a motivation to save, right? Because think about retail, right? When someone walks into a store in the shopping mall, they don't care about so much it's almost like savings goes out the door, right? It's not you know you're not going to get the best price. You know there might be a sale, which is a lie, or a clearance, which is another lie. Those are motivations to get people to buy, but those are not really discounted items, right? They're not the wholesale, right, as wholesalers as we are to get discounted properties as investors. So you have to think about, you know, right now, if someone's going to go with a realtor, they're thinking retail, right? They're going to, I want the most money I can for my property. And if that's the case in a big area, or a very, let's say a popular area where that's happening a lot, then guess what? That's probably not the area to be dropping mail, but I can't say no completely. Here's something you need to be reminded of. Consistency. If you're, again, start small and test the market. This is why I always say start small, even with direct mail, because if you start with 100 or 200, you're able to do it, but you have to try it for at least 3 months. And you may drop thousands, and you may get 3 or 4 properties out of thousands. But guess what? That those thousands convert into dollars, and it pays for your marketing. However, if you're hearing those things, like when I hear someone say, oh, I get hundreds of these letters, and I just list it with a realtor anyway, well, guess what? There's your sign. There's not a lot of motivation right there. And if that's a common trend, and remember how I said real estate is a local business earlier? I said, if you heard me say that, real estate is a local business. You know how you talk to her, she talks to you. At the end of the day, even if it's if you're doing this virtual, you still got to know the neighbors. You still got to have either boots on the ground or someone to go out there and be local, because it's just how real estate is. There's no way around it, even if you're doing this business virtually. So you have to have that face-to-face, whether it's you or someone else, or you have to be, keep it local to that degree. That's why that woman responded, you know, to you and talked to you, and because she saw her face. Again, I would look at those few factors. I can't say it's one particular, because that wouldn't be fair to any of the other avenues, but I would say you do have to test and see what works. Where do you get your list from, by the way? When someone said, oh, this list is everywhere and everybody's using it, what list source is that?
The website is REWW. Oh, what's it called?
Okay.
I have to look it up. I don't remember.
Something. Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Real Estate Worldwide. That's what it was. Real Estate Worldwide.
Okay. Sure. Kent Clothier, Real Estate Worldwide.
Yes.
Sure. Let me give you some direct sources. When you hear people say go to a list broker, that means you're going to want to go directly to a list broker, not a third party like Ken Clover. Nothing against REWW, nothing against them. But go directly to the list broker, which means you're going to get on the phone. Don't just email. Get on the phone with companies like ListSource.com, ListSource.com. Jump on the line with listability.com. And then you can also look into CoreLogic. Actually, CoreLogic, if you Google CoreLogic, I can't remember what their website is, but CoreLogic is actually probably the number one data collector about properties in the United States. And a lot of these other companies use CoreLogic data, so you can look up CoreLogic. And then finally, Agent Pro 24/7 is another source. So you could also Google search. I'm giving you like my top 3 or 4, but you can also Google search list brokers, real estate list brokers, and you can find one that, you know, best suits your needs. But you're probably going to want to go direct to a list broker, and because what they do is they do a thing called scrubbing the list. They, you know, actively, you know, gathering new leads. If you go to a third party, sometimes they sell off the same list to a whole bunch of people. And that might not always be good because they have a certain criteria. They've chosen the criteria for you. So get directly with a list broker, and that might help you out a lot. But get on the phone with a list broker. Please get on the phone. Don't email a list broker. Get to know the business. Get on the phone. Ask questions and build a relationship, because as they say in marketing, there's money in the list.
So are you suggesting, we already have this list of these 275 vacant properties, and we were considering just continuing and doing at least 3 mailers to them. We were going to do one every 3 weeks, I think was our plan. So we were going to go through three of those. And so I'm wondering, should we go ahead and finish off those two and do two more, or you're suggesting going to a different list or your thoughts?
Yeah, I can't make that decision for you, but
sure.
I can only give you my recommendations to say, in my opinion, I would go directly to a list broker because, like you heard it from those other people, that other people are buying those and using those lists. And it's true. If there's a third-party company that's selling a specific criteria of a list from one list broker, then there could be a whole bunch of people mailing out that same list. So you might want to work directly with a list broker. Yeah.
Okay. And then my next question, the comment that you made about going wide, or if you're in a big city going 20 miles out, for example, I mean, Columbia is nowhere near as big a city as like Dallas or San Francisco or something. I mean, it's tiny compared to that. And then if you go 20 miles out and you're in the sticks. And like I first looked out in the country, that was one of my goals, and I was looking for non-owner occupied houses to mail to, and in a lot of the smaller counties that are, say, even 15 minutes away from Columbia, you know, less than 10 miles. It doesn't take you 20 miles to get out of the city of Columbia.
Right,
I just got, like, into the next county, and there weren't any. I mean, they were, like, zero. So I had to go into the city because there's not that much of a dense population in South Carolina.
Right. Yeah, and my 20 miles is kind of like a general statement, but the reality is, yeah, you have to go, you know, county by county and do that research of where the inventory, you know, would be. But if this could just be that, you know, that area, if you're in South Carolina, you know, Columbia may not be the place for you. And I'm just saying that off the top here. I've bought properties, and I'm not saying these are the best ones in sliced bread, but I bought and sold properties in South Carolina for the past 7 years, and I've never done a deal in Columbia. But I will tell you the up-and-coming areas are Spartanburg, Boiling Springs, Anderson, Clemson. Right? So those areas tend to be a little bit more underdeveloped, but they're up-and-coming, right? So they're starting to get more transactions. Another thing to really look at when you're wholesaling real estate is where is most of the cash sales happening? And I don't care what state or county you're working, where are most of the cash sales happening? Once you know where the cash sales are happening, you know that's where to be. I mean, that's as simple as it gets, because if there's a bunch of cash sales happening in a county outside of Anderson, and there just tends to be a big revitalization area going on there, and there's a bunch of cash sales happening, then just jump into the pool. You know, don't, you know, just, it's like fish finding. It's like you don't want to say, oh, but what about all the competition? Well, listen, you can either be out, you know, and out on the outskirts and not doing anything, or you can be swimming with the other guys trying to do deals. You know, it's really that simple. But I would say find that where the cash sales are happening in any county that you're doing business in. If there's a county that's not having a lot of cash sales, like I was working with a student up in, what state is that? Not Kansas. Was it North Dakota? Yeah, it was North Dakota. And just there was nothing around the guy that had any cash. Like there was no activity anywhere in a 300-mile radius of the guy. And I said, listen, I said, you should probably consider a different state. Maybe you go north and we build this thing a little virtual. Sometimes that has to happen, depending on the strategy you're doing, because you can still operate in your real estate business in that same state. But sometimes if there's no inventory, you have to maybe change the strategy instead of, if there's not a lot of wholesaling going on, which there usually always is, wholesaling just doesn't go away. But let's just say there wasn't a lot of HUD properties and you need to source your properties from somewhere else. Or if it's a hot rental market, you might want to be working with, you know, guys who are renting out properties, that kind of thing. So you kind of have to identify what's going on in the market and kind of adjust accordingly. But I would say look around maybe, contact your local agent, right, that's on your power team. Ask them, you know, maybe what parts of Colombia, if you want to stay in that area, ask them what parts of Colombia that are having more cash sales, what sides of town. Have you asked your agent, an agent, these kinds of questions already, by chance?
I didn't ask my agent, but I've worked with a lot of other investors and been at the RIAs and stuff for years. So I've been asking,
okay.
You know, where people like to buy stuff. Like we've got Fort Jackson here, for example. So there's always rental properties and people wanting to do owner finance deals and things like that near Fort Jackson. So that was one of the areas that we did a direct mailing to, for example.
Right, right. And, you know, that might be an area where, like you said, your exit strategy might not be, you know, wholesaling. I mean, it can be, but it also might be a rental opportunity, you know, where you are, you know, working with working with landlords who want to pick up those properties. Maybe they're closer to move-in ready. You know, that's the thing. I can't say whether or not to, you know, jump from list to list, but I would say just be consistent with it. That's important. Try to keep it for at least 3 months. I know that may sound long, but the reality is the more often you mail and the longer you mail for, sometimes the more leads that come in. And that's going to vary market to market.
Okay. Thank you.
Just be consistent with it. Yeah. No problem. All right. Let's take one last question, and then we'll call it a night.
I have a question about the listability. I'm familiar with ListSource, and then some of the other ones. And listability. I was just wondering, what was your opinion on what makes them unique as a list broker compared to some of the other ones?
Sure. I think when it comes to any list broker, I think it comes down to the freshness of leads. Let's just use that word, the freshness of the leads. Are they doing what's called in direct mail scrubbing the list, right? Meaning are they updating their data? How often do they update their data? Are they, is the data new and relevant? Is it, you know, that's part of the scrubbing process, making sure it's a good list. And listability tends to come out, you know, pretty strong in what I've seen from other investors, either myself. I don't do a whole lot of direct mail, but those have been my sources that I've used, and they list up pretty good compared to other ones. But you may find one that's better. You know, and it's just a matter of doing some due diligence and, you know, finding one that works for you.
Okay. Because there was a more expensive one that I was interested in. It's foreclosures now. But then they also do probate, you know, and they send you three counties, two or three counties for one quarter. They're pretty expensive, but I kind of like the way they give you all the information on your email as opposed to printing it out. So I'm going to go with like a list source or listability, go with a cheaper one first, you know.
Sure. Yeah. Actually, I'll give one more resource and I'll kind of wrap up the call here. But if anybody, by the way, if you have any other questions that you didn't want to get answered here on the call, you can email me at Nathan, N-A-T-H-A-N at LarryGoins.com. You can email me any questions, additional questions you may have. But I did want to give you one last question. Yeah, sure.
No, go ahead. You wanted to give us information. I can go after that.
Yeah. I was going to give you another resource. It's called zbuyer.com, the letter Z, and then buyer.com. They also, like you said, in regards to emails, they're basically a lead generation firm. They don't put properties under contract. It may seem like that when you're dealing with them, but they don't put properties under contract. What they do is they run the marketing for motivated sellers. Their whole goal is to get you motivated sellers. So you pay them a monthly fee, and they will send you the lead in your email, or you can log into their portal once you become a member, and you can get people already who've already responded to their ads, such as We Buy Houses, Sell Your House Quick, Sell Your House Now. They do marketing for investors. So if you want to look into that, zbuyer.com.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. All right, so last question.
I'm Michael in Ohio, and I was wondering if the lady who spoke before the last question and had the comments and lists and so on, if she would be willing to share her contact information.
Sure. Are you still on the line?
Yeah, I'm here, sure.
Okay, great.
You can email me. My name is Sarah, S-A-R-A-H. Last name, Straney, S-T-R-A-N-E-Y, at gmail.com.
At gmail.com. And that was Straney, S as in Sam, T-R-A-N-E-Y.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, great. By the way, Sarah, I haven't gotten to your email yet. I just got out of the hospital with a leg infection. So I know your email came through, but I just haven't gotten to it. But I'm out of the hospital today. I literally just got out not so long ago. And I will get to you, and we'll go through that. All right, everyone.
Thanks.
It was great. No problem. It was great being on the call with everyone. And, again, if you have any other questions, you can email me at nathan@larrygoins.com. And have a great night.
Take care, Nathan.
See you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Nathan. Bye-bye.
Sure. Bye. Bye-bye.